Perhaps like me, you were struck by the number of terrorist attacks this summer. I went on the internet to see if I could find a tally, and I was struck again by the long lists, hundreds of them each month. It's been an epidemic. Revelation chapter 6 presents the riders of ruin going forth, terrorizing the earth with war, economic disparity, and pestilence, until desperate men are crying out, "Who can stand?" We also often, don't we, cry out at the sickness, financial loss, or antagonism that surrounds us in this world. In Revelation 7, the Lord speaks a word of comfort and security to us. In fact, seven times in the book of Revelation, the Lord interrupts the judgment on sin that's pictured to speak a word of comfort and security sealed to you in Christ. As I read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 7, I'd like you to take note of the frequency of the number 4. "After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea." Did you count? How many times was four used? Anyone? Four, yes. This fourfold use of four is really emphasizing the universality of God's grace. The phrase itself there, "the four corners of the earth," is bringing out that it is for all that the Lord is heralding His gospel. This is brought out more by parallel Bible passages. In Revelation 20, the four corners of the earth are identified as referring to all nations of people. In Mark 13, the Lord Jesus sends out His messengers to gather His elect from the four winds, defined as the farthest parts of the earth. Yes, this universality of God's grace is meant to assure each one of us. It's because God desires to save all in Christ, redeemed, justified all, that each one of you can know God desires, redeems, justifies me. You are never then so wretched in guilt over sin that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. And no matter what devastating suffering may come in this world, this chapter is assuring you that Jesus wants to enable you to stand secure in His grace. And notice the further demonstration of the protection that is flowing from this universal grace. We read verses 3 and 4. The angel is saying to those angels that were given authority to harm the earth, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads." So notice, the Lord is commanding all the elements of the earth for your benefit. He's bringing to you the assurance that He brought after the flood. while the earth remains. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Yes, devastations may fill the earth, our own lives. But until the end of this world, the earth will remain for tilling, water for hydration, trees for food. Thus says the Lord. Notice, the Lord is also answering the question behind, who can stand? Namely, why, Lord, are you allowing these riders of ruin to bring such devastations? Do you remember what verse 4 said? They are allowed until all the servants of God are sealed. It reminds me of 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what is this seal on the forehead of His servants? We let Scripture interpret Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now He who establishes us with Christ, with you in Christ, and has anointed us, is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. None of us can qualify by our works, by the purity of our heart, to be the sealed of God. Those who are sealed are those in whom the Holy Spirit has come to create faith in Jesus in our hearts. Or listen to Ephesians chapter 1. In Him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So note again, it is all who trust in the gospel that are sealed. All in whom, through the gospel and word and sacraments, the Spirit plants that seed of faith in Christ our Savior. Not only does the Lord's seal bring us to faith, it's also His mark of ownership. Possessed, protected, preserved. He will enable us to stand. So don't give in to despair or self-pity in connection with the strife and terrorism of this world, lest you lose that gospel seal in Christ. Ephesians 4. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And don't give in to the lusts of sin and cast away that gospel seal in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You are never so wretched that you are out of the reach of His grace. No matter what devastating suffering may come, Jesus wants to enable you to stand in His grace. This grace washes you clean from all your sin in His own blood. This grace seals you for eternity, possessed, protected, preserved. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll close with hymn 391.